The tendency in the gospel in the past, well, many years up to our time, is that the gospel teachers tend to believe that the Old Testament is history. And because they believe it to be history, it is somewhat discarded into a little historical background, and they do not realize that everything in your Bible is speaking of Jesus Christ. Everything in your Bible. You could begin to guess and take anything and ask me, what does that mean in Jesus Christ? Now, this was the first lesson I got in God. Believe you me, I was crazy and ready to kill myself one evening. And I got saved instead. God just miraculously made a woman tell me to go and challenge God. And I went and challenged God and said, God, if you can save, I'm giving you 10 minutes to save me. And if you don't save me, then you're not God. And if there's no God, I don't want to live anyhow. So we call it quits. And I was quickened the evening. And I said, well, if there is a God that can do this to me, then he can come and sit down and talk with me. That's a very simple deduction. And God took up the challenge. And I said, meet me at 4 o'clock, Lord. And at 4 o'clock in the evening, in the afternoon, I was sitting with my face towards the door, and the window was behind me, and Jesus came right up behind me, exactly at 4, and he began to talk to me. And as he began to talk to me, all the animosity and everything just crept out of me, and he began to show me my Bible. That's what I was mad about. I mean, the Bible was a closed book. It was sealed to me, at least. It was crazy, to be honest with you. That's how I thought it. When I read Matthew chapter 5, and it seemed to be so contradictory, you know, I just couldn't understand it. How could God say, thou shalt not kill? And then he told the other man to say, kill the chickens, kill everything. He said, kill everything, women and children alike. I couldn't understand such a God. And then I couldn't reconcile my Bible with truth and with the Word of God. Jesus came to me, and he talked to me. And he talked from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 1 that night. And I didn't see when the sun went down. I was so absorbed. And when he was slipping away at 1 o'clock, I said, Jesus, tomorrow evening at 4. And tomorrow evening at 4, he was there. And that continued for August, September, October, November, December, January, until the 7th of February. And what happened the 7th of February? The Jesus that was talking to me came right into me. And he was talking inside. And I mean, it was weird, and I was very frightened when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to talk in tongues. So, praise be to God. I am saying that to say this, that it was he who taught me that the Old Testament is the prophecies are the words pertaining to Jesus, and that the New Testament is the fulfillment of those words. So, if there is any relationship between a man and his manifestation, then that is it. The Old Testament speaks of Jesus. Everything. Just say anything. Any love story in the Old Testament is talking about Jesus. And so let's take one of these stories tonight, because this one was intrigued me. I asked God to show me, you know, why is this thing in the Bible any at all? I just couldn't reconcile it with Bible. It looked to me like a good story anyhow, you know, a Superman thing. But it didn't. impressed me as a Bible story. And so I wanted to know why it found its way into the Bible. So God told me, turn to Judges. And our story begins with Samson as a young man. First chapter 15 said, it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. We've got to start earlier than that. We cannot read it, but I can tell the story. Yeah. And it starts with chapter 14, goes to chapter 15. And so, let me give you the story here, in short. And I'm going to give you a key to the story so that, remember I told you that the Word of God has three dimensions. Three dimensions. Now, take a simple word like Samson, natural man. The natural man, Samson. Praise God. Now, there is a spiritual meaning to it. And there is a meaning that it will come forth in the perfect. Can you understand that? Every word of God has three basic dimensions. Amen. If God says sheep, he means not only the natural sheep out there, which is the thing that gives you the idea of what he's talking about, but it means a son of God. And the quality of the sheep is transferred to the quality of the spiritual reference. So God, the Bible, is written, I don't want to say like an allegory, but it is written with a deeper meaning. It has dimensions, depth and width and height. You see, it has dimensions to every word that is written. Now, the word Samson, they're in the natural, a natural man, physically fit, and you know. Then there was the meaning of the church. Then he represented Christ. And then he represented God's final man. Of course, 144,000 are the man-child. I mean, those are references in the Bible, words in the Bible that have the same meaning that Samson represents. And I'm going to show you in what way he represents this. You see, the man-child, the 144,000 are the first fruits company. Now, many of you are not acquainted, are not conversant with these terms. But when I'm through, this will explain these terms, right? Now, this, for instance, this word 144,000, it's not a number, it's a symbolic figure. Every figure in the Bible is symbolic. They use figures to say many things. God would use one word to say a whole book. Take, for instance, when God says Babylon, you know, he means a lot of things. You know, he means rebellion. He means a people who rebel against God, who refuse to be led of God, to be ruled by God. And it has a long history behind it. So while he's telling you history, he's really giving you an idea of something spiritual. Now, This man, Samson, was a normal fellow. I believe he was a husky lad, maybe 5'10", 5'11", or some between 6 feet and 5'10", somewhere around that. And he was just a normal fellow, a normal kid. Then he said to his mother one day, and his father, he said, "Now, I went down to the Philistine, the country of the Philistines, and I saw a girl down there. And I like her, and I would like to have her as my wife." Now, in those days, your parents had to go with you to ask for your wife. I don't know if you do it that way these days, you see. I think you more have some working arrangement with the girl, and then you go to her parents. But this guy, he saw the girl, and he went to his parents, and his parents had to go to her parents and ask for her to marry. And so this girl then, Samson's wife, she is the type of the church. The bride of Christ. Now, in this sense, Samson is Jesus Christ. You get the idea? Good. So he's going down from Israel, the country of God, to a heathen nation, the sinners, the Philistines, to ask for a bride, to get a bride from the Philistines. Jesus came down from his glory down to a low estate to take on human flesh. I mean, you wouldn't understand how troublesome human flesh is unless you were an angel. Amen. But imagine someone with immortality, absolute power, God Almighty, is going to take off his godliness and put on humanity and come and live in a wretched beast nature, beast body. You see, it was pretty rough. Well, this is the same kind of thing now. Samson going down to marry a Philistine girl. Now, the Bible said his mother and father knew not that it was of God. So they were quarreling. Why are you doing that? Why did you have to do that? Aren't there girls in Israel that you could marry? Why do you have to go down there? So Samson, on his way, he told his parents that they should go on a little. He just wanted to stop a little. And he went into this bush. And when he went into this wood, a young lion. Now, and you, all of you must have seen a good-sized lion. He's a well-grown lion, could be a fellow about that size, and his paws are massive, horrible things. I mean, a lion could take up his paw and slap that table and splinter it to smatterings. He could, if a lion switches his paw at you like this, you know, a cat plays like this with his paw. If a lion does that to you and it catches you, take your head off. Completely take your head and neck off. That's the power that the lion has. They call the lion the king of beasts because the lion will conquer almost every beast in the forest. Now, Samson went into this bush and there a young lion attacked him. Now, the Bible did not say he attacked the lion. The scripture said the lion roared against him. That means to say the lion attacked him. When a lion roars, that means he's going to attack you. He jumps at you. And I understand that the charge of a lion is so swift that, I mean, you can't move out of the way in time. Although David did it. Amen. But the only way you could beat a lion at his move is to anticipate him. And you know he's going to move, and the moment he leaves the earth, you are already moved. And David moved, stepped aside, and plunge his sword into him. So we're talking about Samson now, though. Now Samson stepped aside, jumped on top of this lion, and held the lion like this, with his one hand in the bottom jaw and one hand in the top jaw, and rent him right in two. Now, that's impossible to conceive. Amen. You know, I doubt if the tractor you have outside there, if you had two lifts on it, if it could do that to a lion. And you can imagine the speed and the power. It was much like it, lightning, boom, and he just tore him in two. Now, the scripture said he rent him like you'd rent a kid. But I would like to see which man could rent a kid. You can't even tear the dead skin of a kid with your hand. Much more to rent a whole kid in two, you see. Well, men must have been different. Anyhow. But you can't rent a cat. Now, I doubt if you could tear a rat in two. But this is the situation. Samson rent this lion in two. Now, the lion is Satan. Do you see how the story has meaning? The story takes on meaning the moment you know what the types mean. So the lion is Satan. Now he rent him in two and threw down the carcass and, you know, brushed off his hand and came back out to spirit. And the Bible said he didn't tell them anything. But when he was going back home, they had their little agreement and arrangement for the marriage to be at a certain date. When he was going back home, what did he see? He saw a bees make honey in the carcass of the lion. Bees, a hive of bees, came down and found this lion's carcass and made their nest, their hive, inside of the carcass of the lion. And when he went back to the wedding feast, now everybody was having sport, so he said, all right, he said, if anybody can guess my riddle, I will give them how many? 30 changes of garment. Now, because that number is symbolic and it's highly meaningful. 30 is highly meaningful in the gospel. 30 means sonship. And let me tell you something now. It's not every Christian who is a son of God. Amen. Anybody is against that? You see, when you hear me come like that, you know, I want to trick you, because I'm going to show you it in the Bible. So I want you to say, no, no, you're wrong. You see. But I can't catch you that way, so I might as well show you. You turn back to Romans 8 and verse 14. What does it say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So children of God are different from sons of God. In the Bible, when the Bible said sons, it means that you have come to age. You are matured in God, and God can trust you with his business. So, this number means sonship. So Samson promised Samson the church, or Jesus. You know, it's type and type. Let's use this type. Samson, Jesus Christ, promised the heathen, the sinners, sonship if they can guess the riddle. So what is the riddle? Let me tell you the riddle. He said, out of the eater, let's find it. Let's go back to Judges 14:14. Thank you. It says, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Now, let me tell you what the riddle is. The riddle, some of you might have guessed the riddle. Eh? Nobody can guess what the riddle, what the meaning of the riddle in the symbolic language. What does it mean? They, gospel, story. They could not guess the gospel story. The world could not guess the gospel story. The sinner could not guess it. Why? Give me a scripture for that. Somebody tell me why they couldn't guess it. Give me a scripture for that. Yeah. Well, just quote it. You don't have to find it.
They can't understand the things of God, you know.
Because it's hidden from them. Yeah, praise God. That's the scripture I want. Yes. Praise his holy name. Okay. Now, the sinners, therefore, cannot guess the gospel story. It's hidden from them. And the man who is lost, it's foolishness to him. See? Good. Now, the riddle, therefore, let's see if we can understand what it says. That out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweet. Now, this eater, this killer, you know, he... the lion, the devil. The scripture said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that Jesus Christ would bruise the serpent's head and the serpent would bruise his heel. So that means God was showing that the church is to do to the devil exactly what Samson did to the lion. Can you see that? That some of you guys are going to rise up in this last few days before the end of the world and do to Satan the devil just like Samson did to the lion. You want me to show you that in the Bible? God called them overcomers. And let's turn our Bible to Revelation. And I think we could look at chapter 12. It's in so many places that I could find 3 or 4. Let's try 12. Because this said they overcame him. And it tells you how they did it. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Praise God. Overcomers. Overcoming the devil by the tools that God has given you, which was Samson's power. The word and the spirit, and he tore him in two. Now, this is where the sweetness comes in. Amen. Verse 12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. You know, I had a vision of seeing the sons of God rise up in the earth, resurrected. And when people look at them, sinners just scream and run. But all the prisons broke open, and the Christians came out shouting and dancing in the street. And, I mean, the whole atmosphere was charged, electrified with joy as you never know. People were just dancing wildly and didn't care anything more, because, behold, salvation had come, you know. 6,000 years, God and every angel is sitting down waiting, watching you to see what you're going to do with the devil in this last hour. This is why life is going to get tough. Because all things carnal must come under the final test Satan let loose on earth. And those who love Satan will go to him, and those who love God will go to him. Amen. No more middle ground. But those who love Jesus will go to him, and those who love Satan will go to him, and the battle of Armageddon will be fought right before our eyes with spiritual power. Amen. Some of you think you're weak and think you speak the word and the power will zap the devil out there right before you. Amen. Praise God. So let's go back to our story. We go back to Judges. And so we see Samson going, making an arrangement, coming back, finding honey in this carcass. Now he gives them this riddle, and they cannot win. And what do you think they did? They went to his wife with swords, and they said, come on now. Say, if you don't tell us, we kill you, and we kill your father's house. You better get it from him and tell us, or else we're going to burn you with fire. So there was nothing else for her to do but to go to him and cry and plead with him and say, tell me now. You don't love me if you don't tell me. So he told her. And when he told her, they went to him and said, oh, what's sweeter than honey, eh? And what's stronger than a lion, eh? And he said, if you didn't go and fool around my wife, you would not have known it. And he said, okay, I'll give you. Now, the 30 garments, the 30 changes of garments, he should have given them 30 of his own Israelitish garments. Now, what's the meaning of garments? Can anyone tell me? Somebody here knows it. I don't think I should tell you. What's the meaning of clothes in the symbolic language? Come on now.
Is that something that is like righteousness?
Yes, so it is. I was just going to tell you it starts with R. Yeah, the righteousness of the saints. So therefore, what these people wanted, they wanted to catch salvation by the tail, and they just have the righteousness group put over them, and that's it, and they would just catch God. So what did Samson do? Samson went out, and he killed 30 of their own men, took off their clothes, and carried it and gave them, and they shouted, oh, we have won, and so on. And the feast was over. And when the shout came out, 30 men were dead, and it was their clothes that he gave them. And they said, okay, we're going to get him. And so since Samson was gone, they got a hold of his wife, and they killed her, and they murdered her, and they beat her. Now, turn your Bibles back to Matthew 24. And you will see Jesus there speaking to the brethren and telling them what will happen to them. Uh, verse 9. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. So, if people ridicule you for your Christianity, for your salvation, it's nothing bad. I tell you something, what I have just seen. Last night, over the news, over the news, they had some girl there trying to deprogram her, they say, to get Jesus out of her. And they were there and her pointing, and she said, no, I love Jesus. She said, Jesus is real. And they were down there saying, you bring a disgrace upon your family. You're going to join this gang of, they don't think too good of us. But praise be to God. I don't know who the brethren were, right? But the girl sounded to me like she had Jesus. Amen. She said, no, you don't know. You don't know that Jesus is alive. You don't, and they were down there. But of course, they speak in tongues, and they raise their hands, and they call it the psychological something that has gone bad with her upstairs. Brethren, let me tell you something. You kids are going to face the devil face to face in the form of some of these psychologists and psychiatrists that are around here now. They are saying about us that those who talk in tongues are demented. They say our wheels are turning backwards. They say we are crazy, and they believe it. They believe it's a fact, a medical fact. And the day will soon come when they come and try to take people and throw them in the pen to cure them or to deprogram them. Exactly what they are doing over in California here now with some of the Children of God group. See? Now, I don't know if any of you have been acquainted with that group or know about that group, but they call themselves the Children of God, and they are trying to deprogram them. They actually seized this girl. Our parents agreed with this man to kidnap her from them and take her away, and they have her in a house then trying to deprogram her, a continuous condition there. And they are going to see what God will do. So when you are praying, remember to pray for some of these kids who are facing persecution right now. Some people will come and persecute you because your hair is long, Did you know that? They'll just come out and do anything. If you speak in tongues and they hear, they believe that you are crazy. So God said they would do these things to us. And we know that since they did it to Paul, since they did it to Peter, since they did it to all those apostles, we're not better than they are. And something wonderful here. We are better able to face that mass, that devil mass, than those people, because we are at the end of time and we know it won't be long. And the victory belongs to us anyhow. We read the back of the book. We saw where we won. Amen. Now praise the Lord. We go back to Brother Samson here. And so they burnt the church with fire and they ill-treated her. And so Samson said, all right, they burned my wife with fire. I'm going to burn up their crops with fire. So he got some foxes. Now I want you to notice that in the Songs of Solomon, the scripture symbolically speaking of foxes, say, take the little foxes that destroy the vine, for our vine has tender grapes. Now these foxes go and nibble on the vine and they eat off the vine and destroy the crop. Now, the foxes, we generally look at foxes in the symbolic language as sins in your life, little sins in your life that destroy your So watch it now. Samson took their own foxes and lighted them on fire and let them loose in their own cornfields and burnt down their crops. Amen. So their sins are going to find them out. This is what God is saying. This God is showing you that the sinner man, he made all these big bombs. He made all these mighty inventions of destruction. What for? Oh, brother, he's going to destroy more sinners than Christians. But may God save some of them. You know, because it seemed to me that sinners will be saved when they're in trouble, even more than when they're having a good time. So praise be to God. The foxes, therefore, refer to sin. And so their sins are going to find them out. You notice I'm quoting scripture for all of those. Now we go back again, and these people said, okay, Samson wanted it. Let's give it to him. We are going to take the whole of Israel this time, and we are going to destroy Israel, and we are going to take Samson. And so they really did not know what they were playing with. Now I want you to see this, that Samson is a type of the church in our power. See? Now, Samson went up into a high rock. A high rock that only one man could come up at a time. You know, because he knows that when he's sleeping, they would probably creep upon him. But they couldn't creep upon him where he was. So he went up into this rock, and it was a cave, and he went into the cave and lived up there. And so they said, well, we can't catch Samson, we're going to kill the Israelites. So they went and surrounded the church. You heard what I say? They surrounded Israel, and they said, the only way you can save yourself, Israel, is if you give up Samson. This is exactly what's going to happen. The people of the world are going to pressurize the church, and the church is going to deny you and I. Turn their backs on us. We are fanatics, they say. And said, so the Israelites came to Samson and said, why have you done us this, Samson? You heard that? Why have you, Samson, done us this evil? What have I done? He said. You know that these people are our bosses. You know that they rule us, they govern us. And yet you go and provoke them. They said if we deliver you up to them, they will pull off and don't hurt us. Samson said, okay, promise me that you won't hurt me yourself. You see, now this is a church and the church. One man said that a fanatic is one who has gone on further in God than the person who is calling him a fanatic. So you find that it was Israel and Israel. Israel took Samson and bound him with a cord and took him down and delivered him to the Philistines. And the Philistines begin to dance and mock him, and they were having a good time. So they were leading him to their country now to have a good time down there with them. But they said, let's have a little sport with him first, you know. And they began to laugh at him and mock him. And the Bible said the power of God came down on him, and he shook himself like an animal, you know. Just shake himself like this. And the thing dropped off his hand like fire burned it. The cord they tied him with just like, phew. And as it dropped off his hand, he turned around. He couldn't get anything to fight with. He saw the jawbone of an ass. Now you just imagine what a jackass looks like. I mean, most of you here must have remembered. had circuses and seen donkeys. And his long jawbone, and he grabbed it and began to move through the host. Now these men had spears, long spear that would spear you from your out here. And these are spearmen and sword men, you know. And they had on armor. And they were fighting men. They had shields and everything. Now what can a jawbone of an ass do against swords? But you know what happened? They didn't know what hit them. In other words, if you hit a man with a spoon and you really hit him hard enough and fast enough, he wouldn't know what hit him with. If he had an atom bomb in his pocket, it wouldn't help him. And so this is what happened that day. Samson moved through that host like a bolt of lightning. Boom! And by the time they knew what had happened, 1,000 men lay dead. And those who could run, ran. And he picked up the jawbone of the ass and drank from it. He was thirsty, and water began to bubble up in it. Living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But one word he said, I am going to die. He said, heaps upon heaps. He's killed men heaps upon heaps. And now imagine I'm in this desert place. I'm going to die for a little water. And he wouldn't drink their water, you know. You notice that? They were soldiers. They must have had their water bottles. He wouldn't drink their water. And God bubbled water up. You know what that? Samson, as a type of Jesus Christ, went into death. Went into death, and the living waters bubbled forth. Amen. John 7, 38, 39, it said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink, and in him shall spring up a well of living water. Yes. And so that the scripture said, 39 verse said, it was the Holy Ghost which we should receive after Jesus Christ died and rose again. And so this Samson slaying these Philistines is a battle that Jesus fought at Calvary. Can you see that? The place was called Lehi. And I'm sure that that word Lehi has some meaning that would bring us right back to the Calvary experience. But after he defeated them there, he went back home. What it says? The place means jawbone. Amen. Praise God. Well, out of Lehi sprang forth water. Now, we go back again and we see that Samson went back home. The Philistines were well beat, and they never bothered him again. And for 20 years, Samson ruled Israel quite nicely and just normal. But God stirred him up again. Now I want to show you the period of time between the first action when he was acting as the type of Christ. Now he's coming around to start acting now as the type of the church. 20 years span between. And he went down again into the Philistine to look another wife again. This time he met a harlot, and this woman was a very bad woman. She had no good intentions towards Samson, but she wanted to kill him. As a matter of fact, she looked at him as a good investment. Samson was a good investment, because they would make her rich and powerful and quite famous if she would deliver this mighty Samson over into the hand of these people who couldn't touch him. And so you can imagine Samson was over 50 years of age now. For when you can't get a wife in Israel until you are 30. You're 30, boy? Oh, well. Praise the Lord. You're glad you're not in Israel. So you couldn't get married unless you're 30. And so Samson must have been 30 when he was getting this wife. And then after that, he spent 20 years ruling Israel, and then he came back now. So he was over 50 years of age, but he was still mighty and powerful. And so he came into this place, and he fell in love with this bad woman. So Samson must have been 30 when he was getting this wife, and then after that, he spent 20 years ruling Israel, and then he came back now. So he was over 50 years of age. But he was still mighty and powerful. And so he came into this place, and he fell in love with this bad woman. And I want you to know what the woman's name was. Her name was Delilah. And that is equal to the false church. Delilah is equal to the false church. Now this true church, Samson, fall in love with the false church and begin to have a marriage between both of them. A union that was inordinate, was not ordained of God. And as he continued there, she decided to sell him out to the world. So she made an arrangement with the lords of the Philistines to go behind the gate when he's coming out from our house, and they should kill him at the gate. And so they got a whole band of soldiers behind the wall. Can you see it? The gate of a city, some maybe 30, 40, 50 feet tall gate, big old iron thing, and big pillars. The pillars of the gate are so large that most of these gate people live inside. See? And there are streets on the wall, streets up and down, people go up and down. So you can understand what kind of wall that is. You have seen the Great Wall of China, I mean in pictures, so you have an idea. And that massive gate, Samson was coming out of our house early in the morning, going home, and as he came towards the gate of the city, all of a sudden the Spirit of God just took him and he began to shake. And he grabbed a hold of the gate, and the men were behind the gate. Suppose you were there, what would you do, brother? A sudden earthquake, the earth began to tremble, and the gate began to shake, and the whole wall was being shaken down. And Samson rooted the gate out of the roof. I believe he must have backed up with it. You know what I mean? Because if he held it like this, he couldn't, he wasn't tall enough really to lift the gate out. But what he could do is hold it and draw it right out of the root. Hundreds of tons. Hundreds of tons. And he drew it out of the root and lifted it over his head. And hauled it, carried it up on top of a hill and deposited it there. Those Philistines ran for their lives. And he went home. He came back, and Delilah began to tempt him. Hallelujah. Let me show you a scripture that flashes to me. Turn to the 14th chapter of Revelation. And I'll show you that the false church tempts the true church. If you are of the true church, you will always be tempted to go in and make a marriage with the system that is not obeying your Jesus. Do not have anything to do with groups and systems who will not follow Jesus. Amen. Now, Revelation 14 and verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. That's the Delilah church. Do you know another woman in the Bible who represents the false church? Well, the great harlot, yeah. The great harlot is the name of all of them, but Jezebel. The great harlot. So, the great harlot is a church, as described in Revelation. Right? Revelation 17, 18. And this harlot was represented by Delilah in this story. And this harlot was tempting the life out of Samson. Okay. So now, what has happened? What did really happen to Brother Samson? He got weaker and weaker and weaker. And there was a covenant that he had with God. And the symbol of this covenant was that he should let his hair grow long. He should not drink any strong drinks. And he should let his hair grow long. That was the, like you say, you and I have a contract, I give you a paper. And you give me one. Well, the paper or the mark of his contract in his body was that his hair should go long and not be cut. No scissors, no razor should come on his head. And he shouldn't tell anybody that. Because it was the secret that was between him and God and his father and mother. And Samson, of course, in those days, long hair was a disgrace, a shame. People see you with long hair and they begin to laugh at you. You see, if you read your scripture well, you'll notice that long hair was a shame. They laughed at people who had long hair. And so this man, Samson, had this covenant between him and God. And he should not break the covenant. But lo and behold, what happened? He told Delilah his secret. Let me show you that in your Bible, where the church fell down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth where? In the church, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Yes. Oh. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see what I'm saying? I am not giving you my own words, neither am I trying to say anything that God isn't saying through me. My contract with God is that I come before his people and he tell me what to tell them. So when I come in here this evening, the Lord said, tell them about Samson. And so I didn't know what I was going to say. I just started off, and as I go on, the Lord just flashed the scriptures before me. And the last scripture that was flashed before me is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 3 and 4. He sitteth in the temple showing himself as God, that he is God. Amen. So it is the church, it's right in the middle of the church that the Antichrist is going to come forth. Amen. Then, God is going to give you a time when that you can know of a truth when the Antichrist is here. Let me turn you to that. Turn back to Matthew 24 and look at verse 15. Matthew 24. Somebody read that verse 15 for me, please. You find it? Somebody read for me, please.
Therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand.
Then read the next verse, 16.
Then let them be which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house.
Praise God. Now, you see, God is telling you when you must flee from the carnal, physical things of the world. He says, whenever you see this beast is set up in the earth, that is the one world church and the one world government joined together, he says, quit all your physical attainments and look up to God. One scripture said, look up and lift up your head. Let me read it for you, the same passage in Mark 13:14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not to, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. You follow what I'm saying? There is symbolism. The whole Bible, it has depth. Being in Judea, Judea is a low country. Mountain high place. Them that be in Judea get up into the mountains. If you are in a low place, in God though, Judea, Judah, Jesus. Judah, Jesus. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. When you are in Judah, Jesus, then you get up higher. Amen. When you see things begin to come to blood. And this is what God's speaking to us tonight. Because young people will have to face the devil as much as old people. And I believe that the young people are going to really stand up for God in this hour of distress that is going to come on our world. So now, we see here then, go back to Samson. He told Delilah, first of all, he told her that he said, if you tie my seven locks of my hair with a new rope, I will be just like a baby, I can't move. You see, he's playing with her. He's playing with death. This is when you play with a church that is backslidden from God. Amen. You are playing with the harlot. Amen. Harlot religion, a harlot church. And his head was tied with this, and she tied him up onto the post of the house. And she said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And he jumped out of his sleep and jumped off and took away the post of the house with his hair. Huh? You think your hair could stand? Amen. See, now, last time, the next time, he told her the truth. And she got Barber, and probably she doped him, and that would break his covenant anyhow, because he shouldn't drink strong drink or take any heroin or any dope or things like that. And she doped him, put him in a deep sleep, and got a barber and shaved off all of his head, shaved it off his head and make him bald. And then she said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And when Samson got up and ready to fight, the men just grabbed him. And the Bible said he was like an ordinary man. And he did not know until when he tried to move, they held him. He couldn't. God had the party for him. Yes. Now, did I read in Thessalonians that there would be a falling away? Christ. Now, the church therefore fell down. Fell into great darkness. What happened? They took, the Bible said, they put out his eyes. In those days, they had a way of putting out people's eyes. They got a sword, and they put it in the fire. And when it was red hot, they just clap it over their eyes and fry your eyes. And this is what they did. Let me tell you something. These people are in the darkness, and they took out the Holy Ghost, which is the eyes of the church. Hallelujah. Took out the eyes of the church. Hallelujah. And left us blind. This is why you have so many false doctrines in these religious systems, and the government is pleased with religious systems that are just nominal and like social. They do good things, keep the hospitals and so on and so forth. But the Lord did something. He brought the Holy Ghost again. Amen. And as the Holy Ghost comes, Samson's hair begin to grow. And those fellows had him chained, and they forgot altogether that he had told them that the trick was in his hair. And so his hair began to grow. And I can see, you know what they had him doing? Have you ever seen those mills that a mule goes around a post like this, right around the post, and the mule grinds, they use the grinder in the middle, a big heavy grinder in the middle, and the mule is the motor that runs the... Well, that was what they had Samson doing. They had him pushing this thing around, round, round, round. But you see, what happened, Samson found out the first day it was hard for him. It was very tough on him. But then he began to get stronger, and he could just easily just push that thing around. And he was there pretending like he was training with it, you know, training with it. But he was having an easier time. And as his hair grew, he felt his hair, and he knew it was growing. And he waited for his time. He heard them talking that they're going to have sport with him. They're going to use him for a sport. And he knew the temple of Dagon, that it was built. Remember, he walked up and down there, you know, when he could see. He walked up and down there. He knew the temple of Dagon, that it was a kind of architecture that was built like this. Talk about modern architecture. I don't think we have really seen anything that was ultra modern. We're in the whole weight of a building rested on two massive pillars that were right beside each other, and the building shaped off like a saucer, and all the people sat around, and the balconies hanging down, you know, sit on different balconies hanging down, and they all, the chief weight was on this, and then they had arms coming this way. So the center of the stage would be right at the pillars, you see. And they were honoring Delilah that day. And this great fish god, Dagon, was there, and they were bowing to him and offering him sacrifice. And so as they begin to tease Samson, Samson said to the little boy that carried him, you know, he said, "Just lead me to the pillar. I want to rest a little. I'm tired, you know." And the boy led him to the pillar, and he felt both pillars. And the Bible said, I don't know how he did it, but the Bible said he bowed himself. Probably he put his back on one pillar and his arms on the other pillar, and he made a bow, a push, and he said, "God, this once let me die with them." And the whole house came down. And he killed how many? 30,000. See, something like 30,000 one time. And the Bible said he killed more in his death than in his life. You know what that? You're going to say, how will that fit in with the sons of God? Exactly. The sons of God are going to give up their lives to prove to the world that they are immortals. Now, isn't that something? That's in Revelation 11. After they have finished their work, and they knew now that they have gained immortality, nobody would believe them. But did they believe Jesus? He told them he was the Son of God, but they wouldn't believe him. They said, well, it would be good for you to die if you're the Son of God. They want to see if the Son of God could die. And so the sons of God will give their lives up. They will slay them, and they will lie down there 3.5 days, and they'll get back up. Amen. How would you like to see a man dead and his head lying down out there, and he gets up, reaches over, picks up his head, put it on, and adjust it properly, and walk off? Amen. That's the condition. Praise be to God. That's what the Bible shows is going to happen. The sons of God who will be beheaded for the word of God, they'll get up, pick up their heads, and go back into the city and said, here we are, alive forevermore. And they will eventually speak the word against the sin. And even that will save many sinners. They'll speak the word against sin, because God said they will beat their swords into plowshares. They are going to speak against every gun. If you have a gun in your drawer at home, it's going to catch on fire. Sorry about that. And the guns will all be on fire. The things that are against God and against God's people will all be on fire. The prisons will all catch on fire and be destroyed. No more prisons in our system. The concentration camps will all catch on fire and be destroyed. God, that day, will light fire in the whole earth, in all the places of the devil, and the men of sin will be slain, and the devil himself will be arrested. Amen. One of you guys might well go up to the false prophet who was filled with the spirit of the devil and said, you spirit, I bind you for 1,000 years. And the devil screamed, and you got him. Amen. The Bible said, Christ will do it, but Christ will be in you. See? Christ in you. Christ was in Jesus, reconciling the world unto God. And Christ in you will be reconciling the world unto God also. And so praise be to God. This is the story of Samson. Amen. And the story of the church. Every story in the Bible is like that. You try it. You go read some of them and see what happens. Now, any questions? Praise the Lord. I hope I didn't finish too quickly. Good time. Praise the Lord.
I have a question. Half an hour ago, but I can't.
I have one about a half an hour ago, about long hair.
Yeah.
Just how do you reconcile Samson having his strength and his long hair? And then Paul talking about the fact that long hair is a shame to the man.
Yeah, because long hair was a shame to the man. You see, that's why God made Samson a laughing stock. He was a freak. I mean, he wasn't acceptable to society. He was like you bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. People laugh at you. I mean, you know, they look at you as a funny guy, you know, to be talking about Jesus and all that sort of thing. So God said that Jesus Christ would be a rock of offense and a stumbling block in the church. Yeah. Bearing the his reproach. See? So the Jesus Christ was reproached, laughed at, scoffed, mocked, and so we are in the same position, but praise God, and this time we're coming forth with power, and we'll be overcomers and overcome everything, including death. Praise God. I'm not saying if one of you guys cut your hair, you will you will lose your strength. You know? Unless God made that covenant with you. Praise God. That doesn't matter, really. Amen. You run out of questions so easily. Gospel of the end time is different from the previous gospel in that it is the development of the previous gospel, the gospel that has been given and has been preached. It is the development of it into the end of all things. God is bringing it to a finality, a conclusion. Now, to bring this thing to conclusion, God has 7 years at the end of time in which he's going to bring this to a conclusion. The last 7 years of time. Now, nobody can be certain where the last 7 years of time begins, except by revelation, you see. So we find God giving us certain signs. For instance, God says, whenever you see the beast manifest on the earth, you know it is 3.5 years left. And this is what I'm saying. You look out and you see America, Russia, China, and all the other nations joined together, including Europe, and so you say, no, this is it. That never happened from the world began. Once you see, you try, look at it. Hitler almost did it, you see. He failed. Napoleon intended to do it. He failed. Genghis Khan would have done it. He conquered the whole of China, the whole of Russia, the whole of Europe, and he failed. Amen. Alexander the Great, he thought he was going to do it. He failed. No man ever did it. And now you see what's happening, how simple. Your president feels that he is going to get the whole world together in peace. He's working right along this line. And so far, he has got them to come to the peace table. But you know, Watergate intervened and kind of stopped the situation. And last night he was appealing to the nation. He said, let's put Watergate aside and let us go on with this thing we are doing. God's giving us more time. But it's going to happen. And when you see it happen, you know this is it. Don't let anybody tell you. Because the church believes that we are not going to be here during the tribulation. But the Bible says we will be here. If you read Matthew 24 from the 21st verse, it said, I'm going to ask you, just like in school, you get a good piece of comprehension. And they say, okay, tell us what this passage means in your own words. Amen. And so I'm going to read a passage for you and ask you to tell me what it means in your own words. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Then if any man should say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. That means Christ hasn't yet come. And the elect will be there. Then if any man shall say, verse 24, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the vultures be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So tell me now, if you could read that and tell me that Jesus will come before the tribulation. This says, verse 30 says, after the tribulation, 29 says, after the tribulation of these days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The church will be darkened, and the sons of God will die, and the stars, which are the sons of God, will fall from heaven to the ground. That's what it's saying. And then shall appear the Jesus Christ coming, the resurrection. Praise God, after the tribulation. Many, many scriptures, not just those. And so that's really what we mean by the end time. And this end time gospel is a gospel where Jesus Christ is Lord, head. Not just saying it, as I said before, not a bumper sticker, but a really a heart sticker, that you got it stuck to the bumper of your heart and keep going on. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And once we make Jesus Lord, then the church is not Lord. The people who say they are leading us is not Lord. We ourselves are not Lord. We're not going to do our thing. We won't do what we want to do. We'll do what Jesus wants. So before you do anything, you ask, is this what Jesus wants? And if you feel any worry inside there, you don't feel to do it. Don't do it. That's as simple as all that. Don't let anybody force you to disobey that in here. Because that in there is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what every saved person should believe. See, but people are trying to tell you, oh, no, don't follow your heart. Don't do what your heart is saying. Do what I tell you. You do what Jesus tells you. And Jesus is talking inside here. Begin to trust him. And if he knows you're going to trust him and you're going to do what your heart tells you, he'll make your heart tell you what to do. That's as simple as all. God is more intelligent than we are. Yes, we just have to work out an intelligent operation with him, and he will work according to what we know and what we agree on and what we believe. Amen. What happened to the question, brother? You lost it? Praise God. Jesus Christ is wonderful, bless his holy name. Jesus Christ is wonderful, bless his holy name. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. You know who made that? Arlene. You remember Arlene Flint from Danvers? Oh, you don't know her?
I don't think I remember.
Oh, well, we must give you her address. She'll be glad to come and, you know, give you a talk sometimes. Praise God. Well, God bless you.
Any questions?
An early night off.